其实我这管的
是，哎，
that the two major themes of Rosh Hashanah, every Yom Tov has a theme, Pesach is Man Chavisenu, and Shavuot is Man Matan Torahseinu, and so on. So the two major themes of Rosh Hashanah are that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, and Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchiyus. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, the Ramban has a drosha. When the Ramban had the debate with the Galach, with the Meshumas, so he won the debate and he had to run away because he was too successful. He had to leave Spain and he went to Eretz Yisrael. So he gave a long drasha when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael. And Rosh Hashanah, he gave a long drasha which he wrote up. The drasha of Ramban and Rosh Hashanah must have been very many hours long. I don't know how shy that the Balabatim sat and listened to such a long drasha. So in the drasha of Ramban, he raises this question, where does it say anywhere in Tanakh that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin? That we keep on, the Gemara is full of this idea. What is it saying in Tanakh? So he says it really doesn't say explicitly in Tanakh. There are Muslim here and there, but it doesn't really say, so where does it come from? So there, it was an oral tradition from the days of Adam HaRishon. Why was Rosh Hashanah established as, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, established as the Yom HaDin for all of mankind, for the Jews and non-Jews, for all the nations of the world? So the Medrash says in Pirkei Rav Lezer, we assume by Rosh Hashanah Nivra Ha'olam, that the Rabbanu Shalom created Adam HaRishon on Rosh Hashanah. Nivra Ha'olam means that was the sixth day of the Sheish Shemei Bereishis. It doesn't mean that it was the first day of Bria Shamayim V'Aretz. The sixth day, Friday, Hayas, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on Friday. Lo Adu Rosh. But the original Rosh Hashanah was a Friday. That's when Adam HaRishon was created. So Adam HaRishon was created on that Friday, on that day, and the Rabbanu Shalom was mitzaveh him the sheish mitzvahs. It weren't yet seven mitzvahs b'nei noach because Adam HaRishon wasn't permitted to eat flesh. So it wasn't necessary to have a dinner with him on Achai. He couldn't eat any kind of flesh. The seventh of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach was only given to noach later. That's why we call it the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. Why don't we call it the seven mitzvahs of b'nei Adam HaRishon? Because Adam HaRishon only had six mitzvahs, and Noach was given the seventh mitzvah. That's how the Rambam quotes in the Gemara. So Adam HaRishon was mitzaveh the six mitzvahs on that day, and then he violated the tzivui on the very same day, and then the Rabbanu Shel Olam judged him and punished him and chased him out of Gan Eden on the same day. Medrash says it was this first hour, second hour, third hour of the day. He wasn't there in Gan Eden too long. He didn't last too long. He violated the Yitzhar was so great, he violated the Yisra of eating from the Eitz Hadas right away. And then the Rabbanu Shalom told him, that's what it says in the Pirkei of Rav Lezer, that just like I judged you today, on Rosh Hashanah, you should know that so too throughout all the future generations, I will judge your descendants on this day on Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban writes, that's apparently the oral tradition that was from the days of Adam HaRishon, that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is the day on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to coronate him. The day of Malchiyus. What does he need our coronation for? What does he gain by having human beings accept him as the king? Is a pella, no one understands it, but that's what the Gemara says. Imru lefanai. The Rabbanu Shalom tells us, Imru lefanai Malchiyus, kedei shetamlichuni alecha. That's the Gemara in Tezayin Amud Aleph. That the Rabbanu Shalom wants the human beings to accept him as the melech. And in fact, many of the Machzorim have a quotation from Rabbeinu Tzadik going, the 10 Kavanas in the Tia Shofar, so one of the 10 Kavanas is that traditionally when they used to coronate a new king, they used to blow trumpets, Lechvodo, to announce that they just appointed a new king. So every Rosh Hashanah, we blow Shofar, this is part of the Haftarah of the Rabbanu Shalom. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once said that should be the added kavana that one should have, and when you blow the shofar after the malchias, you blow after malchias, after zechanis, and after shofar, so the tkiyah shofar at the conclusion of the malchias should have this additional kavana, kadesh tam lechuni alechem, this is the coronation of the Rabbanu Shalom. These are the two major themes of of Rosh Hashanah. We all know Rosh Hashanah, the Chumash has the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar, and the Chachamim were mafkiya the mitzvah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, they prohibited us from blowing Shofar, and the accepted reason appears in the Gemara. Rava asked Kashas against the first explanation. Gemara finally quotes that the reason why the Chachamim prohibited Shofar because they're so concerned that someone may forget to be Mechal Shabbos. If everyone is going to be mechuyev to blow shofar, somebody may forget and carry the shofar in the rishus rabbim mevaylei chilul shabbos. It's more important to do away with the tkiya shofar for all the millions of Jews, for all of the generations, for a few thousand years, because we're concerned that some of the people may be mechal shabbos by carrying the shofar. So I always thought that no one ever blew shofar. So just this week I was looking a little bit, so I came across. They have piyutim from the days of the Gaonim, that in the days of the Gaonim there was a practice that they used to blow shofar with a shofar that was tied down to a shtender. They couldn't move it, so it wasn't shaykh to carry it. And they said this in the piyutim, that because today is Shabbos, so that's why we don't blow with a regular shofar, because Shema Yavirenu, we're afraid that you may carry it. But they were blowing shofar with a shofar that was tied down, they couldn't. That has not been accepted because, what do you mean? What good is it that the Baltikir shofar is tied down? But what other about people. All the other balabatim in the shul? Not all, if they were tied down all the shofars in the world, then we can understand, because then there's no Shema Yavirenu.
Those things that didn't have too many shofars, probably.
Yeah, could be. Could be. The idea is interesting that usually we say 99% of the gzeiras that the Chachamim introduced are usually assumed to be a gzeira that was introduced by Leitlub. Even though the reason for the gzeira only applies in this case, but the gzeira applies even in other cases as well. That's called Leitlub. We don't distinguish between this case and that case, because if you're going to say the gzeira only applies.
Not
and there's a hashash, every Tom, Dick, and Harry will say, well, I know how to learn, I know that, I'm aware of Shabbos, it doesn't apply to me. And everyone will say back, that doesn't apply to me, so you just undo the whole Xerah.
That's the mistake from
Mordor, yeah. So this idea that the Goyim have, though, is a correct idea. We do accept what they say. The principle that appears in the Gemara in so many different places, that the Xerahs are all made, as a Lotzug Rabbanon, that even in cases where the Tama Gzera doesn't apply, the Gzera still applies, that's only by another Gzera. Let's say you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelist, lest you're carrying a Rishus HaRabim. You're not permitted to do Malacha with your left hand on Shabbos, to write with your left hand, you may forget, and do the Ksiva with your right hand. In the Malacha Ksiva, in the Terezani, she writes with the right hand. Writing with the left hand is Kalacha Yad, it's Ayyadeshina, so it's only forbidden with the Rabbanon. And all the Gzeiras de Rabbanon, not allowed to eat the chicken with milk, all the Gzeiras de Rabbanon, because he may violate a Nisa Deraisa, all of them are a Leitlub. 99% are Leitlub. There is a whole category of Gzeiras that was not formulated as a Leitlub Rabbanon. Take, for example, the Mishnah Megillah says that when the Kohanim Duchen, it's not proper to look at the Kohanim's hands when they're Duchening. So the Mishnah has in Megillah Takanas HaTanaim that a Kohen has Mumin b'pan of Yodov uveraglov. He has Mumim on his face, a Mumim on his hands, a Mumim on his feet. So he's not allowed to Duchen because this will draw attention. The people will be staring at him. This will draw attention to his hands like this. The people will know not to look. But if he has a Mum, everyone's going to be curious to see what the nature of the Mum is. So this Gzeira de Rabbanon no longer applies this manner. Why not? Because Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in his Beis Yosef that in the 1500s when he lived in Eretz Yisrael, they started the new minhag to cover over the face and the hands with a talus. So even if you see the Kohen's feet, if he has a mum on his feet, let's say he has a wooden leg, even if he has a mum on his foot, and people is going to draw attention, but drawing attention to the foot will never lead me to look at his hands. I can't look at his hands even if I try, unless I crawl under the talus and I struggle. No one's crawling under the talus. By the time I get to under the talus, I've already realized that you're not supposed to look. The Beis Yosef says that this Gzeira de Rabbanon that says in the Mishnah no longer applies to Bizman Azeh. We say, Dovish and Minyan, Doch Minyan Achal Atira. Whenever the Chachamim introduce the Gzeira de Rabbanon, even if you live in a generation where the whole Gzeira doesn't make any sense, the whole reason doesn't apply anymore, say the Gzeira de Rabbanon still has to be observed. So how come the Beis Yosef just like this? He just did away with his Mishnah. He says the Mishnah doesn't apply this manner. Is that because the reason doesn't apply?
Wasn't there even in the original Zera when he was Joshua Zera, that was?
But even if the Zera
already made an exception to that.
Dosh Beira, yeah. If everybody knows about his mum, everybody knows him with his mum, so then there's no chashash. Could be that that's the explanation.
How come if a bris comes out on Shabbos, you may not go about a
mila,
right, that's a very strong kasha. Tosfos says that kasha. There's the Megillah after Kasha, but the Gemara says the Chachamim don't permit us to read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos. Shushan Purim sometimes falls out on Shabbos, so they don't allow you to read the Megillah. Shema Yavirenu, the same as over here. So Tosfos after Kasha, what about Bris Milah? So I think the Meiri collects all the Tirutim. I think he quotes there are 6 Tirutim on the Kasha. Each region gives a different name. It's a very good Kasha. Kasha is a good Kasha, and they give different names. Right, that's one of the several answers. That the only time the made Xera is by Shofar, by Megillah, by Lulav, because he start off by saying, Hakol Chayovim B'Tkir Shofar, all the Jews in the world. So there's a big Chashash, there's so many millions of Jews in the world, someone for sure is going to be Mechal Shabbos. But when you have a Bris Milah, how many people have to take care of the Bris? How many Bris do you have on any given Shabbos of Bris Milah? The father of the baby with the moil. The father of the baby usually doesn't prepare.
Okay.
Doesn't prepare for the bris. The moil prepares. So the moil knows in advance. He's a mumcha. He knows in advance to prepare everything. That's one of the many answers that's given. Rishonim give other answers also. Interesting answers they give on this kashya. Okay. So on this Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef says that the prohibition against a Kohen Sheyesh Lamum in the front of Yod HaBaragim of Shudin Duchen, so the Mishkan of Yankov has a very interesting tshuva where he writes a different Hezbollah. You suggested because there was already an exception to the rule built in the days of the Tanaim, that it's Dosh Biro. If everybody knows him and they all know what his mum is, it's not going to attract any attention. So that could be what it's based on. Beis Yosef doesn't really explain it. He doesn't seem to say that Hezbollah. So the Mishkan of Yankov gives a different Hezbollah. He says that normally when the Chachamim make a Gzera Derabbanon, they don't incorporate the Tamah Gzera into the Nusach HaGzera. They don't say, we don't permit you to eat chicken that's cooked in milk because you may make a mistake and eat flesh that's cooked in milk. They don't say, we don't allow you to carry the Karmelos because you may forget and carry in the Rishus HaRab. They don't say, we don't allow you to write with the left hand because you may forget and write with the right hand. If they would always incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera, so vice every time Dick and Harry will say, that's the reason for the Gzera. It doesn't apply to me. I know what the Halach is, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, in Masechus Avodah Zarah, when the Tanaim used to introduce a Gzera Derabbanan, they wouldn't be Megala the reason for a year. They wouldn't tell anybody the reason. The Mishnah says in Masechus Avodah Zarah, when the Tanaim introduced the Gzera against eating Gvina Zakum, cheese that was manufactured by a non-Jew, so one of the Tanaim who was invited to come to the
meeting
was busy that day, couldn't show up. And then he missed the whole meeting and he heard that they made an Isra against Vina Sakum. So he asked one of those who was there, I heard you made an Isra against Vina Sakum, what's the reason? He said, sorry, I can't tell you. You weren't there, not allowed to tell you. Not allowed to be Megala. He would have been there. He would have been discussing, but he wasn't there. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be Megala the reason for the first 12 months. Because we want people to get used to observing the Gzera, and then we'll discuss. And then the Gemara Taka says, they forgot the reason for the Gvina Sakum. And then there's a whole machlek, the Gemara gives 5 or 6 different suggestions. Why did they Taka ask for the Gvina Sakum? And there's a machlek, there's a Rishonim, how do we pass in Halacha L'maisa? What's the real reason why they asked the Gvina Sakum? Not so Pashat Ladina, not Kiminis and Shulchan Aruch. Why did they ask the Taka the Gvina Sakum? Because they're not allowed to be Megala. They weren't allowed to be Megala at the time for the first year. So the Taka forgotten. It was forgotten what the reason is. And it's a Machlokes L'Halacha what the time is. So the Mishkan of Yankov has a tshuva where he develops the following notion. When do you say that you're not supposed to incorporate the Tamah Gzera into the Nusach HaGzera? That's only if the Gzera is not Bakira's Dovman HaTorah, if they're not undoing a mitzvah in the Torah. But let's say they're telling you, we don't allow you to fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos. We don't permit you let's say, to bring a Korban Pesach. It's a rare case where the Tanraim, a Gershon is Gaira, and Erev Pesach, we don't allow him to bring a Korban Pesach. We tell him, wait till Pesach Sheni, even though he's ready and raring to go. He wants to bring the Pesach Rishon, we tell him, wait till Pesach Sheni, the Mishnah gives the whole reason why. Sometimes we don't permit you to put tzitzis in a beggar. The beggar shall pish them to the Rabbanah, they made it there. We're not allowing you to do a mitzvah in the Torah. So the Mishkanah Sayankim says, whenever the nature of the Gzer the Rabbanon is Matmash Akira's Dovman HaTorah, it's an outright conflict with what it says in the Chumash. Torah says you have to put on tzitzis in the beggar. The Torah says you have to bring a Korban Pesach. The Torah says you have to blow Shaifer. So the Chacham say, we forbid you from fulfilling the mitzvah in the Chumash. So whenever they have a Gzer the Rabbanon Akira's Dovman HaTorah, an outright conflict with what it says in the Chumash, there they have to incorporate the Tamak Zera into the Nusach HaGzera. Otherwise, Tachmamash, on hand and on feet, it doesn't make any sense. It says in the Chumash, you have to do this. And the rabbis say, we don't allow you to do that. How can they make such statements? They have to, in order that the Gzera, the Rabbanah should blend in with the rest of the Halacha, they have to say the reason why. So since they have to, whenever the nature of the Gzera is Akira's government Atera, so, they have to incorporate the Tamak Zer into the Nusach HaGzer. They can't keep it a secret for the first 12 months. They have to say the Gzer is, you're not permitted to do this for this reason. So in such a case, you can't say that it's a Loi Plug Rabbani. Whenever the Tamak Zer doesn't apply, so the Gzer doesn't apply. So that's why the Beis Yosef knows, Beis Yosef first thought about it, and because the Mishnah, he raises the suffix. Now that the Kohen has covered the hands, because the Mishnah is the sefer that the Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote as a commentary on the Rambam. The Beis Yosef is the sefer that he wrote on the Tur. And then later he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, which is an abridged form of everything that it says in the Tur in the Beis Yosef. So when he first wrote the Kes Mishnah, he writes, he's not sure. Now that his man is at the Kohen and Duchan and they cover the hands, so no one can see the hands anyway, so maybe the whole Tamak Zera doesn't apply, maybe the whole Zera doesn't apply. He's not sure. Then in the Beis Yosef, if he made up his mind, it doesn't apply, and that's how we assume. Halacha l'maaseh. Why? Because whenever the Gzer is Bakira Zavman Atar, they're telling the Kohen, we don't allow you to Duchen. What do you mean you don't allow me to Duchen? The Halacha says I'm obligated to Duchen. So they forbid me to Duchen. They have to incorporate the Tam HaGzer into the Nusach HaGzer. So whenever the Tam doesn't apply, so then the Gzer doesn't apply. So we understand why in the days of the Gaonim, there were those who felt that if you tie down the Shofar, the Tam HaGzer doesn't apply. He can't carry the Shofar even if he's going to try. He's tied down to the Shtender. So since this Gzeira is also Bakira's Dovman HaTorah, so they had incorporated the Tam HaGzeira into the Nusach HaGzeira. Whenever the Tam doesn't apply, the Gzeira doesn't apply. We don't follow that opinion. We hold there are other Shofars in the world. The Hashash is someone will carry a disc. Someone will dig up another Shofar and carry another Shofar. But we understand what the Gurnim had in mind over here. Mishkan of Yankiv has this Tshuva. Right. The Mishkan at Yankiv has this tshuva. There was a famous Din Torah. Years ago, when a publisher would publish a Rambam, or they would publish a Shas, or they would publish some Sforim, a Rashbo or something, so the Rabbanim would give a Cherim to the publisher that no one is allowed to reprint this Sefer, no one else is allowed to print this Sefer in the next 5 years, or the next 10 years. Why? Because this printer laid out a lot of money, and it was a risky deal. He may lose a fortune of money over here. He may not get enough customers even to break even. So they used to make a cherem. No one is allowed to reprint his sefer until 5 years, 10 years, whatever. They would guess how long it'll take him that he should break even and make enough revach that it should pay for him in order that you shouldn't discourage the publishers from printing additional slums. So the Maaseh Shehoyu was that the Rabbanim guessed that it'll probably take someone, I already forgot the Slavita Shas, the Zulna Shas, I already forgot who came first, all the details. So I think Slavita, they published the Shas, and the Rabbani gave them a 5-year cherem, no one else is allowed to print the Shas. Got to Gehoff, and they sold out all the volumes in 2.5 years. They sold them, and nothing left. So they had the monopoly. They had a cherem, no one's allowed to print another Shas for 5 years. So they printed another set of the Shas, many copies, and they held that the cherem applies. No one's allowed to print. And the Vilna Chaver Hachem Alman Aram, they heard that Slavita sold out to all of them. So for trying the cherem is over already. The whole reason why the Rabbanim wrote 5 years, it was a guess. It'll probably take around 5 years till they make enough money that it should pay. They already sold, they sold everything and they made all their money already, right? So the Vilna Chevre, the Vilna publishers printed their own shas. It's Gvan Agansa Dintur. So they said, no, we have the Chevre. And they said, no, the whole Chevre is with a reason. The Rabbanim didn't write the whole reason, but the 5 years is with a Hezber. And they said, a Dovish and a Minyan, Tzoch Minyan Achal Atir. Whenever the Rabbanim make an Isser, even though the Isser is based on a certain reason, whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the Isser still applies. So that's what the Mishkanes Yankif wrote, the Tshuva with Rabbi Kivega was involved, the Rabbi Shlomeger was involved, that's one age. Rabbi Kivega was an old man, and Rabbi Shlomeger was representing his father, so then at this, the Chassidish said that the old man is over buckled, they said Rabbi Kivega is a senile, he doesn't know what he's doing, and his son of Shlomeger is a crook, and he's in with the, he's the Shutzis with the other publishers, and he's trying to make money over here. Rabbi Kivega said, what do you mean I'm senile? I'm not senile! And he cursed them. It was gefelach. It was back and forth. It was bizyani. So the Mishkan Yankiv was at that time. So he also wrote a tshuva. So this is his tshuva. He says, what do you mean? The rabbis make an iser that you're not allowed to publish for shas? How can they make an iser you're not allowed to publish for shas? They publish a shas, they make Torah available to the public. How can they make such an iser? The answer is they can make, if they can make a prohibition against blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so they can ask for fulfilling a mitzvah of Hatfasas Direk Torah as well. But just like in any case of Akira's Dovim and HaTorah, the Tam HaGzera must be incorporated into the Nusach HaGzera. And even on the text of the Chayrim that's printed in all of the Talmud, just says no one's allowed to reprint Shas for the next 5 years, doesn't have the reason why. But it's self-understood that it has to have the reason built in. Otherwise they have no right to make such an Issa. Agzera the Rabbanim, Akira's Dovana said they have no right to do such a thing. But since the Tam Agzera has to be incorporated within the Nusach Agzera, 99% of the Agzera is the Rabbanon, Aleplug Rabbanon. There has to be a Tam, but the Tam is never incorporated in the Nusach Agzera. Ad the Rabbah, we keep it a secret. We're not Mepharshim from the Tam. But over here, the Tam has to be incorporated. So that's why Rav Shlomo Eger, that's why the Mishkan HaTzankif was of the opinion that over here, whenever the Tam HaGzera doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera falls apart. The whole Gzera doesn't apply at all. Over the generations, there were different minhagim developed. This one I had never heard of. This one about blowing shofar where the shofar is tied down. But this they quote from the Piyutim. They have separate Piyutim where they mention, well, Hashanah Chaliz B'Shabbos, they said in the Piyutim, blowing shofar today where the shofar that's tied down. Over the generations, there were different minhagim, and some of them were accepted, and some of them were not accepted, and the Rishonim and the Acharonim always discussed whether these minhagim were valid or not. So the Baal HaMo'or has a fascinating minhag. He says when he was growing up as a child, the practice used to be on Rosh Hashanah, on every Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Shemoneh Esrei consists of seven brachas. The first three brachas, the last three brachas, and the middle bracha is the Kedushas HaYom. You thank the Rabbanu Shalom for giving you the day of Shabbos, the day of Yom Tov. And then you conclude with a little bakasha. Tachenim in Tersecha, Tachenim in Tersecha, a bakasha about the Ruch Nizdik needs that people have. And Rosh Hashanah, by Musaf, we don't only have seven brachas, we have nine brachas. You have the Malchus, the Chayim, the Shofar, and we incorporate the Kedushas HaYom together with the Malchus. So the Baal HaMo'or writes that when he was growing up, he remembers that the practice was that the whole Tzibur by Musaf would only daven seven brachas. They wouldn't daven Malchus, the Chayim, the Shofar. The Chazan, when he repeated the Shemoneh Esrei, said the Malchus, the Chayim, the Shofar. So he's trying to figure out where, and then when he got older, then he says the minute changed. As he grew up, the minute changed, and everybody says, so where in the world did that come from? Not the Chayim Shofar. You read the Mishnah, you can get the impression that everybody's supposed to say. That's another thing, right. Right, Baal HaMo'or is of the opinion that the requirement to mention Malchus Chayim Shofar doesn't only apply to Musaf, it applies to Ma'ariv, to Shacharis, to Musaf, to Mincha. Yeah. All of what filas, not only Musaf, Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha also have to be Malchus Chayim Shofar. And Rashi and Avodah Zarah in the first paragraph is also like that. The Mashal points out the Rashi in the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah seems to agree with the Baal HaMo'or. And Tosfos says now to our practice is that we only say Malchus Chayim Shofar is when we're going to blow Shofar. So the Mishnah has a Maseches Rosh Hashanah that originally the practice used to be that used to blow Shofar and Chazaras Hashatz of Shacharis. And then they moved it to Musaf. The reason why was it originally, that's the Mishnah Laman based on the base. Why was it that originally this he a shofar was in Shacharis. So the Gemara says, I, but the Gemara says that when they daven Musaf, there was a bigger crowd in Shul. Apparently, a lot of people came late. But during Shacharis, it wasn't that crowded. Musaf, everybody was there who's going to be there. Why don't you say, Bereivam Hadras Nela? Why don't you say the Tiyas on Musaf? They see from this Mishnah, you see from this whole discussion, when there's a conflict between Zviz Magdimel and Mitzvah as opposed to Beroy Vam Haris Nela, we prefer Zviz Magdimel and Mitzvah. That's a Shalom Allah, let's say a bris. Should you have the bris in the morning after the first minyan, Zviz Magdimel and Mitzvah, and you're not going to have all of the people are going to come. A lot of people won't come. Or should you have Pigyan Abed? If you have a Pigyan Abris, they may come. Pigyan Aben, when it's late in the afternoon, everybody shows up. And it's in the morning, unfortunately, hardly anybody shows up. So the shaila is, which do you prefer? So most of the Pesukim point out, you see from this Gemara, that Zviz Magdimel HaMitzvah takes precedence. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, they moved it from Shacharis to Musaf. They moved it from Shacharis to Musaf for a political consideration because the Shas Gzeres HaMalchus Shonu. The government made it there. They didn't want the Jews to blow shofar, so they had no brayer. Why today? We live in the Gebenshta America. So why do we still blow shofar on Musaf? So Tosafot says we're concerned. Shema yachta dover lekokulo. No one knows. We may get Malchus HaRishah. We better leave it in Musaf. Problematic Tosafot. Why do we still continue to blow shofar on Musaf? So the Shabbat, what do you mean? Originally, they blew shofar and shacharis. How can you blow shofar and shacharis? You're supposed to blow shofar at the conclusion of Malchus Ohana Shofar. According to the Balamor and Rashi, that you say Malchus Ohana Shofar by Myriz and by shacharis and by Musaf and by Mincha, so you can blow shofar by shacharis, no problem. But according to the way we practice that, we only say Malchus Ohana Shofar by Musaf, you don't say by shacharis. So how is the shach to blow shofar by shacharis? So the answer is Pashut. Originally, when they used to blow shofar shacharis, they said Malchus Ohana Shofar and shacharis. Malchus Ohana Shofar is not a din in Musaf.
Yeah.
The way we assume it's a din, and that tefillah in which we plan to have kiyus in the Hazaras Hashem, that's when you say the Malchus Ohana Shofar. So originally, they used to choose to say Malchus Ohana Shofar and shacharis in order to have the kiyus shofar and shacharis. Zviz Magdimel HaMitzvah. Then in a later generation, they moved it because of the Gzeres HaMalchus. So that Gemara we understand. So this, the Balamor points out on this Gemara, when he was growing up, he remembers the practice was that Tzibur only said seven brachas. Only the Chazan said the Chazaras Hashav. He's trying to figure out what in the world is that based on. So he comes up with a suggestion. He says they didn't have any machzairu. The Gemara says in the end of Masech HaShabbos in Perikol Kisvei, the Kol Kisra Kodesh Matzilim and Tzaya Lekha B'Shabbos is Chalila, there's a Sreif on Shabbos, so you're permitted to, you have to take out the Sifrei Torah and the Vim Aksuv and so on. What if you have Torah Shabbat Peh written down? Are you allowed to be mocked on that? So Medina Di Gemara, you're not allowed to be mocked because you're not allowed to have it written down. You're not allowed to use that. The Gemara says it's Muktan Shab. If you have a Gemara, it's Mana Tanoim. If you have a Gemara, it's Muktan Shab because it's a thing that you're not allowed to use on the weekday. You're not allowed to use it on Shabbat, you're not allowed to use it on the weekday. It's forbidden to use something that has Torah Shabbat Peh written down. So the Rif, the Rishonim quotes from the Rif, says, the Zmana Zeh, that the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Tmura, that they allow, Eslas of Hashem, they allowed the writing down of the Torah Shabbat Peh because they saw the whole thing was going to be forgotten, they have no Brera. So the Zmana Zeh, that it's permissible and recommended to write down the Mishnahis and the Gemaras, and you're allowed to use it. So Mizmanazet's not Muktzim, Mizmanazet, we're not from what's now like also. There's a Trefa. So other rabbi, you save all of this one. You can use all this one. But originally, when it was forbidden to write down the Torah Shabbat Peh, so the Gemara says, Beferish, the Sidur is included. The Nusach HaTfilah that was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah has the status of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah composed it. So the Nusach HaTfilah, so the Nusach HaBrachah is part of the prohibition of writing down Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara uses a lotion, Kosvei Brochus Kisurfei Torah Damyon. So Gemara in the end, in Perikol Kisvei. The one who writes down Brochus is considered as if he's burning Shem Hashem. Why? Because if there'll be a Sreifa, we won't be allowed to save the Siddur. Because the Torah Shabbat Peh is not allowed to use the Siddur. He's not allowed to use the Siddur. So that's what the Balamor seems to write over here. That when the Gemara says in Tmura, Islas Lashem Aferet HaRasech, at the beginning of the second parak in Tmura, and they committed to writing down of Mishnayis and the writing down of the Gemara, the Torah Shabbat Peh, That's because Eis L'Asel Hashem, because they thought there was a great tzorach, there was a great need for it. If they're not going to write it down, it's going to be forgotten. So originally, when they were matah, that's the Ratzon Reishis gives to them. When they were matah, they were only matah writing down the halachas, the Gemara. To write down the siddur, they didn't think was so necessary, and it was still under the prohibition of writing down Torah Shabbat. They were only matah le'tzorach. Whatever is not tzorach, they're not allowed to be matah. So the heter to write down the siddur came later. The first Siddurim happens from the period of the Gaonim. There were Mishnayos already written down before. We have Siddur Avraham Gaon and the other Siddurim. So apparently this Heter was never fully nispashet in Europe until years later. The Baal HaMoor lived way after the Gaonim. So he writes them, when he was growing up, they didn't have any Siddurim, they didn't have any Machzorim. So they had a daven by heart. The Ruba of the people, did, how are they going to remember? Malchus Chayin Shurf is somebody, Psukim, you only say twice a year. Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, the first day, the second day. How should I have to remember so much about Fed? They have so many other things that I have to remember. So the Hamaynam didn't know how to say Shmon Esri of Musaf Bal Fed. But to say seven brachas Shmon Esri, that's not there. The first three brachas till Hamelach HaKadosh is not there. And then from the day to the end of Shmon Esri, it's the same Shmon Esri all year long. In the middle of bracha, after Vachatanu Chalatitlanat Yom Azikon Hazay, Yom Chua, Yom Zichon Chomi Kadosh Yalav Yavoy, then you say at the end, you don't say the Hasiyenu, so you say, okay, we're saying, or whatever, you'll figure something out at the end. Okay, that will work out of it. That you can improvise. You can improvise the last bracha. Just to say Shmon Esri with seven brachas, that was shy to tell everybody. So the Baal HaMoor says, the Hamoinam didn't know how to say nine brachas of Shmon Esri. And there is a key of saying seven brachas. Take, for example, according to all the other Rishonim, you only say the nine brachas by Musa. By Ma'ariv and by Shacharis, by Mincha, you only say seven brachas. And even according to the Baal HaMoor, that you're supposed to say all the nine brachas by Ma'ariv and by Shacharis and by Musa and by Mincha, all the Malkus, Rechon HaShavuot, the whole thing, he also agrees. But on Yom Kippur, you don't say nine brachas. On Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, you don't say nine brachas. You only say seven. So let's say if a person will say Shemana Esrei and he's missing a page from the Siddur. So he'll say 15 brachas. It'll be missing. We have 19. It'll be missing 4 brachas from the Shemana Esrei. So the Gemara, the Tosefta says the bracha, the Tosefta Menachas. And Mishnayos and Menachas are lists off what Ma'akvim says. Let's say I don't have Hadassim. I only have an Esrig and a Lulav and a Rovis and I don't have Hadassim. So the Mishnah says, Dalad Minimam Mi'akvim says there. Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are not Mi'akvim says there. But the 4 parshiyas in the tefillin on the Akhtam says, if you only have 3 parshiyas, you may as well not put on the tefillin, you won't gain anything. So the Mishnah discusses what's the Akhtam says, what's not the Akhtam says. So the Tosef and Menachas on those Mishnahs gives more details as to what's the Akhtam. So it says that the brachas of the Shemana Esrei are all the Akhtam Zuazu, brachas the Akhtam Zuazu. That that person doesn't know the whole 19 brachas of the Shemana Esrei. He's going to be missing one or two. So it's better not to say. He's going to be Brachal Abatolah. Let him not say. Or Rosh Hashanah. Let's say he doesn't know the Malchus. He only knows one or two of them. He doesn't know all three. So let him not say. Even the one that he knows, let him not say. But what if he knows how to say the first three and the last three? And he'll say, Abrachim Tzoy, Satsusha Sayan, Atavachatanu Kolam, Mishitman Azeh Mazikorin Azeh, Yalav Yavoy, Yamazikorin Azeh. Then you'll say Achasim at the end. It'll be like a Yantam. So that wouldn't be a Brachal Abatolah. Because on every Rosh Hashanah, you're mechuyif to say a tefillah of 7 brachas, like on every Yom Tov, and you're also mechuyif to say a tefillah with 9 brachas. If you can't do the 9th, the chaj do the 7th. So that's what the Baal HaMoor says. The practice used to be when he was growing up, he remembers that the tzibur didn't have any machzorim, and they used to say the Shemana Esrei by heart, and they couldn't remember such a long Shemana Esrei, so they only said a tefillah of 7 brachas. How would the Yosef Malchus Chayin Shofis, the Chazan was Motzi then? So the Gemara says, the Chazan is Motzi, the Eino Boki. So he says, everybody was an Eino Boki. Yeah. All year long they were Bikiyim, they knew how to daven. Yontif and Shabbos and weekdays. But Rosh Hashanah, with respect to Malchus Chayin Shofis, everybody was an Eino Boki. So to the extent that they were able to say a feel of 7 brachas, that they were all Boki. So that they had to say, they can't rely on the Chazan. But to the extent of saying the whole Malchus Chayin Shofis, everybody was an Eino Boki, so they had to rely on the Chazaras Hashem. And then he says, when he was growing up, he got older, then finally, the lift with the Machzorim arrived. The Goyim sent the Machzorim, and everyone was able to look in a Machzor to say, everybody Givon HaBoki, everybody has to say his own Teisha Brachas, everybody has to say, the whole Malchus Chayin Shofis themselves, they can't rely on the Chazan. Because everybody's a bhakti.
We
discussed what should be included in the Malchus.
The Gaonim, yeah. We have from the Gaonim, we have Mazar Mazar. Apparently it didn't reach Pravan. I don't know. Yeah. That's pretty right. They didn't have Mazar.
I think Mura discusses the Brokers, which it should be in Malchus Zichroni Shofros, right? Mura discusses what you should include in the Baruch of Malchus, the ten, but they didn't write it down. They just said it by heart.
Well, we have in the Siddur HaGaonim, we have it written down.
Yeah, but
apparently they didn't have it. They didn't have it. Yeah. The Gemara says on the last daf in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that you don't have to say all of those psukim. If you just say it's a rachel kasev leimar and it says on the Tanakh, it says on the Chumash, so that's good enough. So that's a big machlekes Rashi and Rabbi Natan. What do you mean you don't have to say all those psukim? Rashi himself has two pshat. The Rashi says it can't be talking about Malchus Zichroni Shofros. The Mishnah has a whole machlekes how many psukim do you have to say? We say you got to have ten psukim from Torah, from Vim, from Tzuvim, and you conclude with Torah. Mm-hmm. The other Tana says all you have to say are four psukim, one from Torah, one from Vim, one from Tzuvim, one from Torah. You only have to have four and so on. So how can it be that you don't even have to say zero? You don't have to say anything. You just say, and it says so in the Torah, and it says so in the Vim, it says so in Tzuvim, you go weiter. How can it be? Rashi says the Gemara can't be talking about Malchus Shofros. Must be talking about the psukim hamusafim. When you daven Musaf on Shabbos and Yom Tov HaMoed Mashani Yom Kippur, and you say, Rabbi Shalom, please rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, give us an opportunity to bring the Musafim Shom Nasam, and Hal Kavod and Chavot Tenet, and consider Musafim Kol Chasam, you say, it's Musa Yoyma, Shabbos Hazeh, Nasam, Rak Lefanecha. The Rashi says, it's not necessary to read the Pesukim. If you say, it's a Rav Chakas Olayma, we will bring the Musafim, as it says in the Chumash, it does Ginuk, it's not necessary to recite the Pesukim. That's what Rashi writes. And he says he doesn't like the Rishonim, his Rabbeim learned the Pshat and Nigmar. Goes on. Malchus Zichroni Shofros, he can't accept that. He says, how can that be? The Mishnah says you gotta say 10 psukim. It can't be that you just yotze by saying it says so in Tanakh. And the Rabbi Natan, great paket, he says, what do you mean? You don't have to say the psukim of Musafim. That's not the essence of Musaf, the psukim. If you leave out the psukim, you're not yotze. But in Shalma Forim, we don't have an opportunity, we don't have the ability to bring the Musafim, so you have to recite the Psukim. It can't be Yaita by just saying it, and we'll bring the Musafim that are described in the Chumash. That's not good. No, the Rabbi Natan says the Gemara only goes on Malchus Zichroni Shofros. So it's a machleika. So in Hilchos Shabbos, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the din, you have to daven Musaf. So it's a machleika in the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber says the minig was b'chol orei svarad. They never bothered l'chatchila to say the Psukim. They just said, "Bisham Nasal Afanachus Kabbins Chavisin and Tzvini Kinsim Musaf and Kochasam." Kachus Tzvitaris Moshav Derech, and they went right to Yisbuchu Malchuscha. They never bothered to say the Psukim. And then the Ramah says, "We don't do that. We are choishes for the Rabbi Natan." And Natan says he thinks he's not yotzei at all if you don't say the Psukim. So that's really we follow Halacha Lamaisa. We follow the Rabbi Natan, and we in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah the Shitas Rabbi Natan is quoted Halacha that if a person if it's too difficult to say the whole, all the 10 psukim, let's say some people take them a long time to daven. So they're going to miss the whole Chazaras HaShad, they're going to miss the Tkiya Shofar. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you can streamline your davening, leave out all the psukim, you just say the beginning of Malchus, and then you say, v'chein kosev v'soras Moshe Avdech, v'chein kosev v'diri kosher, v'chein kosev v'ayad v'niyecha, and you just start with Kenan Fenim, v'lech v'kala hon kulu v'chvedecha. You save yourself quite a few minutes there. So you leave out the middle section of Malchus, middle section of Zechariah, middle section of Shofros is the quotation from all of Psukim. The format of each one of the brachas is in the beginning of Malchus, the beginning of Zechariah, the beginning of Shofros, we make a statement of faith. We say we believe in the existence of God. We believe that God is the King of the world. And then in the middle we prove from the Tanakh that this is so. We quote all the Psukim and then the concluding section of Malchus is, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should fulfill his promise that the day will come that all the nations of the world will accept Malchusa. In the same in Zichronis, we believe in Tzchar V'Yoynish. Today is the Yom HaDin. Today is the day of judgment. Not necessarily the day of punishment, the day of judgment. So we believe in Tzchar V'Yoynish and Iker and Amuna. So we first speak about this, and then we say in the middle of Psukim from Tanakh where it says that this is the case, and then we conclude, we believe in Tzchar V'Yoynish, give us a break. remember us. Zecher HaBris, he made a covenant with our forefathers to keep in mind that we're the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you promise you're going to take care of us. And Shafris is the same. We believe in Bias HaMashiach. We believe in Gilui Shechina. There was Gilui Shechina, and there's going to be Gilui Shechina, and it's possible, and it was, and it will be. So then that's the statement of faith in the beginning of the bracha, and then in the middle of the bracha, we quote from the Pesukim in Tanakh that this is the case, and then in the end, you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Shoy Kogod Lo Hevi Seinu, show us the Gilui Shechina that you promised us, that you're going to have in the future. So we paskin like this, Rabbi and Tam Shulchan Aruch, that if a person is pressed for time, or he's not feeling well, and he just can't stay such a long Shemana Esrei, so if it's a Shas HaTzchak, you can rely on this video. You just say, then it says this in Tanakh, that's how we know that it's true, and then proceed to the third section. So the middle section of each one of the three brachas, Malchus and Shofar, is just for proof, to demonstrate that this Iker and Amunah, the Iker of Metzias Hashem, Malchus Hashem, and Tzchad V'Yoynish, and Bias HaMashiach, and all this, these Ikorim, appear in Tanakh. So you say, it appears in Tanakh. You don't have to necessarily quote the Pesuk. So that's the interesting practice that Balamor writes. He records that the practice was when he was a child that the tzibur wouldn't say all the nine brachas because they didn't know how to say it bal peh. They would just say the seven brachas because there is a kiyum, even though all the brachas are me'akta zu azu, but if you say seven brachas instead of nine, so you said a full Shemoneh Esrei, because on any other Shabbos and Yom Tov, that would have been a good Shemoneh Esrei consisting of seven brachas. Yeah, let that person knows two out of the three. So that would be the extra bracha would be a bracha levatom. She did say the seven, or say all nine. To say eight wouldn't make any sense. No, not pick. No, only seven with a bracha is the kedusha sayayim. Yeah, has to be kedusha sayayim. Yeah. Then the Balamor has another practice that he claims was a recent development. The Gemara says on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, on the last line, and then it goes over to the top of Amud Beis. The Gemara says that we blow much more tkiyas than is really necessary. We blow tkiyas in the Yushov and tkiyas in the Yumas. So the Gemara says you really don't need so much. Why do we do that? Kedela Arbeiv et ha-Sotan, to confuse the Sotan. So Rashi gives Pashup Shat. How do we succeed in confusing the Sotan? The Sotan comes to complain against the Jewish people like anybody else, that they're sinners and they don't care for God's mitzvahs. So we demonstrate that we love the mitzvahs so much, we cherish them so much, we do above and beyond the call of duty. We do more than the Rabbanu Shalom commanded us. He only commanded us to blow tkiyah, chua tkiyah two times or three times. Machlekes in the Gemara, how much in the end of the Masechta, how much is deraisa, whether two times or three times kia truat kia, and we blow so much, we blow mehr kodesh, even more. Yeah. We blow many, many more kodesh than is really necessary. So we demonstrate that we're mechabavim es ha mitzvah, so the Rashi says, mistatmim dvarav shalasot. So the Sotan has nothing to complain against us. So what is this a reference to? The tkiyas the miyushov and the tkiyas the miyum. So it's usually assumed that mu'umad means during the Yamido, during the Hazaras Hashat, when the Chazan is standing. That's the Kiyas the Miyuman. The Kiyas the Miyushov is before you start the Shemoneh Esrei. After the Baal Mafta finishes, the Baal Tekeh blow Shofar before you begin Mutzav. So that's assumed to be the Kiyas the Miyushov. Why do we call it Kiyas the Miyushov? The Pashat is, it's not in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. Mu'umad means in the middle of Amido. Yusha means not in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. Shulchan Aruch says if you want to sit, you may sit. If one wants to sit, he may sit. In fact, the Yitziv understood from the Tshuvas HaGoyim that you have to daf you sit. By many Sfardim, the practice is that they sit. And then the Yitziv understood that that's what the Kpeda, the dafket to sit. What's that? The dafket to sit. So he suggests, based on that he has a thesis in the last parak in Pesachim and Arvid Pesachim, that the shaila is when you blow, our practice, we blow shofar before Musaf, then we blow in the middle of Musaf. So when are we really yaitzeh the mitzvah of kiyah shofar? So the Rif says, you really yaitzeh before you even begin Musaf. You already heard. Three times tashrat, and three times tashat, and three times tarat. So we will yaitzeh all the logical possibilities in the shofar. When we blow in the middle of Chazaras HaShad, that's just in order to blow at the conclusion of Malchus HaKhan HaShemes, but really the mitzvah of Pkiyah Shekri we were Yotze before. That's how it's usually assumed. That's how the Rif quotes from the Goinim. The Tosis writes in Sochem that it's not so. That when we say the bracha l'shemaya kol shofar and we blow the tears before the musaf d'gishman esrei, everybody has in mind not to be yotze until the middle of the Chazaras HaShad. So isn't it a bracha l'vatol? You say a bracha now. You don't begin to be yotze until an hour later. Until everybody finishes the shtilu shman esrei, then the chazan starts the repetition of the shman esrei, and then all the piyutim, till it gets to the end. The malchus takes an hour. Sometimes someplace takes more than an hour. Isn't that a long hefsek? The Taisa says, not really. Since Sofkotov, he is blowing shofar, even though everybody has in mind not to be yotze, but that's kiyah shofar that he blows before mutzav, so that's not called a hefsek. And Taisa gives you a two shtel to matzah. Taisa says that when you say the bracha al achilas matzah in the beginning of the meal by the Seder, everybody has in mind not to be yotze with the matzah. We have in mind yes to be yotze. The Taisus claims everybody has in mind not to be yotze with the matzah. We really want to be yotze with that because the zika mitzvah matzah should really be at the end of the meal. The Taisus makes a hashvah. Taisus makes a comparison between these two cases. So the Netziv claims that must be the reason for the tshuvas hagoinim and the minig of the svardim, many svardim, that they bedafke sit for the tkiyas the miyushuv to demonstrate that you have kavanah shalom lotze. Because we know in Shulchan Aruch it says that our practice is that we stand. There are certain mitzvahs that we insist on standing for. So one of the mitzvahs we insist on standing for is Sfira Soimer. It says, Erocha Chermesh Bakoma Tocha Lispa Shiva Shavuot. Since it says Bakoma, Atirke Bakoma, Ela Bakoma, you should stand when you count Sfira Soimer. We don't have it in the Gemara, but the Goyim say like that. And then they expand from the Sfira Soimer. Even the Rambam quotes that. Rambam writes a Chiddush that if you tell Sfira in the Yushav, you yotze. Apparently the Rambam thinks that that's a chiddush, that it's a lachatchila deraisa, that you're supposed to tell Svira in a standing position. The Rambam writes a chiddush, and if you counted Svira in a sitting position, you wrote the yotze to the yotze. But it's a lachatchila deraisa.
The fact is that everybody should have to sit during the key of delusion to demonstrate that you have in mind not to be yotze. You have in mind not to be yotze, but you wait to yotze. Yep. What are you doing this for? So the answer is, today my abay, as I saw. So that's what we always assume. So the Balamor claims that's not historically what happened. He claims that Kiyas de Miyusha refers to the Kiyas in the middle of the Chazaras HaShem. When there's Bikorim in the Shul, everybody's sitting in their seats. Miyusha, everybody's sitting. And the Kiyas de Miyuma is after Adon Olam, and everybody's falling off the towers, and they're all walking out of the shul. The rabbi announced that no one should fall off the towers, no one should start walking through again, but no one listens to the rabbi. So there's no decorum then. So that's called Kiyas de Miyuma, and everybody's walking away. So that's what the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says on after Zion, that they introduced Kiyas de Miyusha in the middle of Shemon Esther. That's the real din to have the Kiyas on Seva Brochim. And after the davening is all over, you have tears, and you know that's live of this hasot, and the extra tears are later. And who introduced the tears before Muslim? They say that was introduced in the days of the Gaonim. That's not called tears in Yushim, it's not called tears in Yom. That's the tears before Muslim. And why did the Gaonim introduce it, Dr. Balamor? Because that's when they started introducing a lot of piyutim. So they started introducing Yushim, it takes forever. The davening takes forever. So, Chol of Iskenen can't, Nuzboris and Menikus, and Chol of Iskenen, they can't stay so long. So they're gonna miss all the kids. They can't stay till the young man's shaker. You have to hear the kids at the mouth, they can't have them shaker, it's gonna take so long. Because they're one of the youths, so they introduce them, and they will be training, that they should blow up, they should pocket up the whole mitzvah before you start gathering mitzvah, in case the people have to leave early. But then the Balamar says, and that's when we introduce the bracha, he writes, the Zman HaGemara, that they only started blowing shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShad, and then they blew kiyas in the Yubat, but everybody was walking out of shul by Adon Olam. So he says, the Zman HaTalmud, they never had a bracha. The Zman HaTalmud, they only had the kiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShad. Unless someone was sitting in the hospital, so they had someone go blow kiyas, so he had a bracha, the Shmoy Kol Shofar. there's one at home that we only had the seals in the middle of Hazaras Hashem, it wasn't broken. But because the Amora added on, not only did he blow in the middle of Hazaras Hashem, he blow after Adon Olam opened and everyone broke the ad right there. It was not broken, he said. When did they introduce the broken, that everybody has a broken, not just the Kurdish came to the blown hospital? Because that was in the days of the growing that was introduced in all the community. It didn't take so long to die. So you introduce, you should blow all of the tears before Musa. So you blow it not in the middle of mountains and shepherds. He says, that's when you introduce the bracha, the Shemara culture. He says, this man has the mother, that you do the mitzvah to your shaker, I'll say to have brachas in the middle of it. As well as Hashav, you don't need any brachas on mitzvah. Whenever mitzvah is fulfilled within the framework of bracha, there is no need to recite an additional bracha, an additional brachas on mitzvah. That's the training point then. Why didn't the Tanaim introduce a Birchas HaMitzvah when you say Kiddush, when you say Birchas HaMazons? There's so many mitzvahs that don't have a bracha because the mitzvah itself is fulfilled in the form of a bracha. Who are the Nami if the mitzvah is not fulfilled in the form of a bracha? Pure Shaykh is not a bracha, not in the text of a bracha, but it's within the framework of bracha. So the Zman HaGemara that the Pure Shaykh was fulfilled in the middle of the Chazaras HaShav. So there was no need for a bracha. When the Gaonim introduced that you should blow tears before Musa, so then they had to have a bracha? Because you're fulfilling the mitzvah not within the framework of bracha. Yeah, so the Pashtas is, they always said, whenever there'd be someone sick in the hospital, and you wouldn't have tears in the middle. And Gaon said, tears in the middle of the, after Malchus, after the Chavis, after Shavis, is only when you have Chazaras Hashem. Only two little people. When a private person is dominant, even if he's a good Balkakaya, and even if he's not a Balkakaya, he has someone else who's next to him, and he's the way I'm finishing. Malthus, the Hannah Shaker, he doesn't blow Shaker in the middle of Ishmael Ezra. It's only when you have the Tzibur. Most have the practice, you only have the Tias on Seder HaBrachos in the middle of Chazaras Hashem. And then by the Hashkifim, they follow the order that they take these clothes, and even have Tias on Seder HaBrachos in the still Ishmael Ezra. That's the long thesis on Ramadim and Mace, both that's in the earth, in the days of Rashi, and we are really be shown. So, the Gemara doesn't say one way or another, just says, he is of Seder Abrachim, is only the Tzibur, not the other. Then says, is it only in Chazaras Hashav? Or is it even in the Shtelish Manasseh, the Tzibur, but the Yochid, you don't know. So the Yochid, they always had a Bracha. And she could have shown them in class, it's only the Shmur Chashav. Almar says the practice to introduce the Bracha in Shul, began in the days of the Gaonim when they introduced the tears before Musa. No, that's based on Kabbalah, that's based on the Gaon. The Shayyad is one sphere and the Shayyad is a different sphere. And that's the way they interpret the Gaon. That's the way they interpret the Gaon. And the Mishnah is down there, he has a tshuva that he disagrees, he didn't say some shot in the Gaon. So he says, he's claiming the Gaon doesn't exist. He says, there is no such Gaon. He says, they misunderstood. Misunderstood. I think it's unrelated. We have a minhag on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, we say Kiddush, so we get some new fruit, or some new beged for the Shachyon. So this is a very interesting minhag. This minig is recorded, this is from the Maharam Rittenberg as representing the Hasidic Ashkenaz. The background is the Rosh, in the end of Rosh Hashanah quote that there was a big machlokes harishayim. The Gemara in Erevin and Daphnana and Beis has a question. When you say Kiddush on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, you say Shachnam. You say the Bracha Shachnam. Then Kiddush now is called Zman. So Zman is the Bracha Shachnam or Zman Azir. What about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? Do you say Shachnam or not? Very funny question. What did you do last year in Rosh Hashanah? No one remembers. No one's got to say last year in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says no. And Rishus, for sure it is. Optional it is. So optional, everybody probably says Shachnam. Shachnam are you mechuyif to say Shachnam. Are you obligated? The Pesach Shavuot Sukkot is an obligation to recite Shachyon. But the Gemara says Shachyon over a new fruit is only optional. That's what the Gemara says in Erevin Daf Nun. But the Gemara has a Sukkot where the Shachyon of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say Shachyon, we don't say Kiddush on Yom Kippur, but we say Shachyon right after Kol Nidre, before Maariv, right? So the Gemara has a topic whether the Shechianu on Leil Yom Kippur and the Shechianu at the end of the Kiddush and Leil Shabbos, is that a Chovo? The same as Pesach Shavuot Sukkot? Or is that only a Rishus? What's that thing to play? What's the topic of the Gemara? And some Rishonim explain that the topic of the Gemara is why Shechianu a Chovo on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot? Because there's a Chiyuv Simchah on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. It says originally the Samach Kibbutz HaGecha by Sukkot. And if you write these sukkahs as a hekesh to the other regalim, it is a chiyuv simcha by all of them. Shechianu, if you know, general as man as there is in a certain sense that, like a bichas hamitzvah, you don't say asher kedushanu, in the tzvot of the tzivanu, in the mayach diyonte, you don't say that. And you say Shechianu, if you know, general as man as there, it's basically the bichas hamitzvah and the union of simcha. So what about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? Is there a mitzvah of simcha? So the Rabbeinu Yohanesim. And Aries and Daphne interpret that that was the deal. Then the only thing we know that. Interpret that that was the deal in the Gemara, whether there's a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur on them. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, Shechianu over Pichadosh is only Rishur, it's optional, but Shechianu over Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a chova just like on Pesach Shavuot, which is a Pashto Sukkot, that if there is a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the only thing we know. Master Kaveh is right, that's a Rosh Hashanah, you probably used to say. Shabbos. Oh, so there's Simcha, but there's not Simcha, he said. There's Simcha, Rosh Hashanah, you used to mention. Shabbos, sorry, has a whole shuga about this, how you committed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, or not, to go in and out of practice. Many would fast on Rosh Hashanah, many would fast on Shabbos Shuga. And Kippur, there's no meaning, that's a good. Gotta fast on Kippur. So, Shabbos, what about fast on Rosh Hashanah? So many fast on Rosh Hashanah, but on Shabbos Shuvah not. And many other government had to practice the fast even on Shabbos Shuvah. So the Shabbos Arya quotes those who, the Rosh, and the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes those who disagreed with them. How do you permit people to fast on Rosh Hashanah? It's in contradiction to the mitzvah of Simcha.
So the Jewish one by Ezra, that he told them that he is from Adam and Rumah Adam. Yeah,
they should not fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they, it says,
Right, so that's what we assume, that it's not permissible to fast on Rosh Hashanah. But a little bit, the Shittas HaGoyim, we do rely on, because normally it says in the Rishonim, when the Shekhinah quotes it, that you're not allowed to wait to say Kiddush on Shabbos in the morning, but you have to have wait to say Kiddush after Hatzot, it's a violation of kindness. You're not allowed to have a kindness on Shabbos. Even though you want the cup of kindness, and really having a pleasant time listening to the cousin and inquire and enjoy it, and especially if it's a short winter Shabbos, the rest of the day, you're not hungry at all. But still, that's what it says in Shulchanot. You're not allowed to wait to begin to eat. And Shabbos is until the last of Hatzot. So what about Rosh Hashanah? It takes forever till you finish the davening. You don't finish the davening till after Hatzot. So that's what it says in the portion in the side of the Shulchanot, that we rely a little bit on the Shittas HaGoyim. They don't allow you to fast on Rosh Hashanah. We call it all the whole day, but that we don't follow. But we allow you to wait to begin to eat till after Hatzot. We are making on it. So that's the Shalom. What about this year? Rosh Hashanah Chodesh is the Shabbos. What about Mitam Shabbos? Forget about Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos also the Goyim would allow you to fast. And some of the Goyim say even Shabbos Shuvah you can fast. I said, it's not sure you can fast. And others say, no, only Rosh Hashanah you can fast. When it's Chali, it's Shabbos or Shabbos Shuvah, you're not allowed to fast. So that's what our friends say. Once you be careful, when Rosh Hashanah Chali is Shabbos, eat something before Chatzot. And if you think it's going to daven, you won't take forever, so have a drink of water before you go to Shul. In the morning, to make sure that they're not fasting for less of them. In fact, it's interesting in Shul.
They're not Shabbos most part of it.
No, not justified. They should have had a drink of water in the morning before they
stay over. That was the.
Now they did away with it. Now they got the Shabbos an hour earlier. In Shabbos, they don't have anything. So, in all the yeshivas, because they got them so long. They got them so long in the yeshivas, they finished very late. And all the Lutheran yeshivas, they all have a big pause before Tia Shaker, and they make Kiddush, and it takes at least a half an hour to go to come and eat, and so they have another half hour, so they make davening another half hour later. It takes another half hour. So Hankins are coming around. It used to be, before Moshe Feinstein became so famous, Hankins was a big place in in New York. So Tanker was always very upset about this, and she was even before Tiers, and Meshach and Amari before Tiers, whenever he would meet Rosh Yeshiva from the Lips Rosh Yeshiva, starting from the Shkodesh Shalom, he would Dinshon, Tidach to Mateva, and in the Yeshiva, when they make Kiddush, they should make Kiddush in between the Tiers and the Yushiv and the Tiers and the Yuma. No one ever listened to him, but that's what he would tell all of the Lips Rosh Yeshiva. Rather than make Kiddush before Tiers, that's against the Din. It's better to have, because why don't we allow Hefsik? When you say, Rishmaya told Shoshua, so they always make an announcement, no one should call until you finish all the tears at the end. Basically, many disagree. But why are you not allowed to talk to the Yates everything up? You can't begin with them. So you have to look at the third of the Yates before Muslim. So that's what I think until. You can have the Yates everything, and just like Kumba, because you want to eat, so it's better to eat at that. His opinion was never accepted. And we assume that Ta'ima is Mukha. You're not allowed to eat a whole meal. You're not permitted to have a whole meal before Kirshur. Or just that Ta'ima beyond that people are not full from the thing. Just get two slices of cake, that's all you get. You're still hungry later on. It's just not in violation of the use of time. That's the whole thing. It's interesting in Shulchan Aruch, they have the Tshuva in the Habakkuk. What do you do if there's a bris on Rosh Hashanah? When do you perform the bris? So first you have the bris of Rosh, and then you have the Tia Shokhan Zechel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have the bris before. So that Tzah is a tshuva that's supposed to be from the Aruch to Rashi. The question is that the Aruch, not the tshuva to Rashi. The Aruch lived in Rome, and Rashi lived in Kansas. But the Shulchan quotes such a tshuva from the days of the Rishon. So the Prima Godin has a comment on that din. Why did they raise an issue? When do you do the bris? When do you do the bris? When is the normal day? Before Olenus? When do you do the bris normally? When you have a bris at the end of the day. You do before Olenus, and then you tell Olenus the Shabbat that the Jewish people are different. Shulchan from King Tanzan and so on. You're different. We have a bris mila. That's how you always say Olenus right after the bris mila. So he says, what's the problem? Rosh Hashanah, when did you do the bris? Right before an end. What did you finish missing? So why did the Rishonim raise the whole issue in the first place? Why did the Rishonim? So he says, because on Rosh Hashanah, in the days of the Rishonim, they already said so many piyutim. They knew it was going to take place. Alayna is not going to be till way after Hatzoris. And if you do the bris after Hatzoris, that's a violation of Zizim HaZim in the Mishnah. The real Zizim HaZim in the Mishnah would be, if you have the bris, not a Sharabi. You got them by seeking. And then you have the bris after the second minyan in the morning. Then you daven at the 7 o'clock minyan, and you have the bris. It's also a little bit zizim HaZim in the morning. You daven at the 8 o'clock minyan, it's also you daven at the 8:30 minyan. It's also not so good. So if you wait to do the bris, the left hand says, then mamish a bitul. That's a bitul on mitzvah of zizim HaZim in the morning. So that's why the Rishon knew that it does make sense to do the bris on Rosh Hashanah before Alayna, like all year long, then cannot be. So that's what they asked. What do you do with this? And he said, move it up. You have to move it up. So move it up before the Tia Shem. Move it up before the Tia Shem. When it would have right, it does curse. If they had a Moyel who was also the Baal Tekin, so he wouldn't wipe out his neck. He would leave the blood from the Bris Mila, and he would blow Shef, and it doesn't constitute a Hasid because it's moist. It's only Hasid if it's dry. Yeah, the Taz has that discussion. So the Gemara has the Shaila whether one is obligated to say Shachyon or Hashem. Not a question. Everyone forgot what they do the Eskia, nobody remembers it. No, the Eskia, they said Shachyon in Kiddush and Rosh Hashanah. But they were clearing, are you obligated to say Shachyon? Or is it a Rishus? That's what the Gemara says. Rishus left on the Koyin law. That it's optional to say Shachyon like on a Pichod, which is only optional. Okay. Everybody knows that we should. You want to know, are you obligated to say, what if someone is hard action, he doesn't want to say, are you obligated to say Shech Yonu, say someone's an Avelis, he's not so happy, are you obligated to say Shech Yonu, and the Kiddush and Rosh Hashanah Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, you are obligated to. So the Shaila is, on the second days of Pesach, you don't say Shech Yonu. On the second days of Sukkot, you say Shech Yonu because Shmira and Teres are rather different answers. You haven't celebrated Shmira and Teres for a year. And the second day is a Pesach. We just had Pesach on the first day of Pesach. Just last week was Pesach. You don't repeat Shachyon. So what about the second night of Rosh Hashanah?
it makes sense to say Shachrono on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So the second night of every Yom Tov, we always say Shachrono because it's a state of the Yom Tov. We treat it like a state of the Yom Tov. And maybe yesterday, we made a mistake, maybe yesterday was cold, maybe today's really Yom Tov, so everything that we said yesterday doesn't count. Rosh Hashanah is not exactly a state of the Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is not a Yom Tov. So it's not a state of the Yom Tov. So does it make sense to say Shachrono in Kiddush on the second night? So the Rosh Kotam of Rosh Hashanah. Should you say Shachrono, should you not say Shachrono? So you should task it up, yes or no? You can do it wrong. So that's the way things used to be. In the days of the Rishonim, whoever was a Democrat would always vote Democrat. Whoever was a Republican would vote Republican. Those who were starting followed their Hakni Sva, those were Ashkenazim Pabli. And then came a period of the Hasidic Ashkenaz. The Rishonim, Imam Ritzvot was the end of that period. So they introduced a new theme into Pesach Halacha, which appears in the Gemara, that you should be choshish for the Shittah. You should try to be a good Shittah, even though you don't pass like that, it's a constitute a Midas Hasidus. And you don't date them, you know, the Mishnah has. So based Rabbi Gamliel, on Rabbi Gamliel's home, he says he remembers his parents, his father was choshish for the Beis Shammah Shittah. So there is such an Indian to be okay, they call the Shittah, even though you don't pass like that. So the Hasidic Ashkenaz broaden this out. So they introduced a lot of practices that we still observe out of Yom HaZeh to be a Tzidei Kol HaShittah. So this is one of them. So the Yais of the second, even though we pass the Midrash, did we say Shachyonu on the second night? So what's the problem? But still, it's a Machlech, it's part of Machlech, it's in Sech Mashash Baruch Hu L'Tove. The thing to do is you should take a Pri Chodesh or a Beg of Chodesh, so for sure, you have to say Shachyonu on it. The question is, on the second night of a regular Yom Tov.
That's not good to you.
Well, the Yom Tov is
Jewish.
I know, they said Rafa and Matthew and Aaron. Maybe that's some fun.
How did the rabbis make such a mistake? It says in the Chumash that Pesach is for 7 days. How can they make a mistake? I said, they didn't make a mistake. When they fixed the calendar, they had this question. How can they forget that the reason why they observed 8 days is because of the sake of the end, now we have, I said, they didn't forget. The question was raised on day number one. They kept on hacking the same thing. As they state in the Gemara. So the Gemara says when they fixed the calendar that we follow today, and there's no longer any sake of the end, they asked the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim from Bala, they asked the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, should we continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath? So the answer was sent to them, Hizar the Minigah of the second year day. So that's a machloek to hear, and how do you translate the words? And some Rishonim say, you should preserve the practice of your forefathers. It means the practice. But is it Takana the Rabbanim? It wasn't a minigah. It's a Takana the Rabbanim, Mikana Mahapoh. We are instituting a Takana, you should continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni. And other Rishonim said, no, it's a minigah. There's a din deraisa, there's a din derabbanan, there's a minig, and this is a minig, the Gemara says. The other Shem say no, the word minig sometimes means minig custom, sometimes means practice. Here, in the context of this Gemara in Beit, it doesn't mean you should continue observing Yom Tov Sheni as a minig. They say no, Yom Tov Sheni is a real tatana rabbanan's not a minig. That's a big machlokes in Yishon. So, according to those who say, you don't say bracha when you clap as shinies, and Hashana Rabbe, the Gemara says why, because it's a minig. And you try them, don't say a bracha and tzatzi halal on Mishchodesh, because it's only a minhag. They don't say a bracha when they light candles, Arab Yom Kippur. They don't bench lift. They sing on the lift. They don't bench lift. Because lighting candles on Arab Yom Kippur is only a minhag. And you should say, Mach Mishinagu, Lahadlik Madlikim, so since it's only a minhag, they don't say a bracha. So that's the tasha that the Rishonim worked on. How come on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach, anybody says a bracha, Asher Kedushonu, Vimitzos, and Tzivonu. If you're going to adopt the position that Yom Tov Sheni is only a minhag, and you hold that you don't say bracha minhag, so how come you say bracha Yom Tov Sheni? So, for sure it's an exception to the rule.
that everybody knows that you do say brachas on the Yom Kippur. So this is the practice that many have, that on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, you take a pre-chadash or a begging chadash in order to make sure that your shachyanu should not be out of the altar. It's still a problem, though. Let that person says kiddush. So there's a shayla, he says bar piagraf, and then before he gets to drink the one, he says kiddush, and he says shachyanu, and he says what kinds of brachas, eshavasutra, alamine brachas, sometimes he can call also, he can say shabbos. The second night Rosh Hashanah is going to say Kiddush and Abdallah, and Yain Kiddush and Abdallah is Maha, a whole bunch of brachas. So the Rosh effect, like Kasha, isn't that a hetzer given to the brachas of Abdallah? So that's part of the Tachanah. So what if the Deen says you're not supposed to say Shachanah the second night Rosh Hashanah? So I'm saying a brachas of Abdallah. So I have a pre-Kaddish, I'm covered, I'm safe. What did you say? What do you say? Shapiyano on a fake at Kaddish, Shapiyakaddish, it's literally Kiddish. And what about Ashayotta also? He just went to the bathroom before he said to his brother, say Ashayotta. What is this Ashayotta? All the brothers that he forgot to say. He forgot to say the Bechas Ashaka in the morning. He's going to say all the Bechas Ashaka before he goes to the bathroom. But he says the brother before he drinks it. So that's how Shlomo Zalman Auerbach works very hard to be hashing this. How did the Maharam Wittenberg solve the problem? By taking a pre-chadash, a mega chadash, you can insert that shafyanu. If the shafyanu doesn't belong, if the shafyanu doesn't belong because of the yontif sheni shal Rosh Hashanah, and your shafyanu is bibachutz from that extent, you have a shafyanu because of a mega chadash, then it would be a hefsek in the middle, so you'll still be lying. On the sheet is very shiny, and you gotta say shakuni. So how did you resolve your issue? How did you say that he yoked in Zekala Shita? He works hard on it. He tried to do the Ashita. But if I said, that's the practice, there's a minute there.
He's supposed to be Yotzikala Shita. He's supposed to go like the Hibai Silo. He's supposed to do like the Silo. But Shama has to do it like Shama, you know? You can do B, you can do.
You don't have to. No, some minutes, because in fact, they write over in the biographer, they're going to go in, that this is. Going in, show the husband, and everything show the husband on the first day of what she prepared for Shachyanu. So he said, how do you wear Shachyanu on the first day? So the Gemara says, he says Shachyanu, when you walk in the street and you see in the store that they're selling new fruits and vegetables, so he says Shachyanu, even if you can't afford to buy it, even if you can't stand the spinach, you don't enjoy it at all, you're allergic to it. You say Shachyanu over the excitement that you see as mother left the Iberai, mother left China Yard. I live to see the new cherry season. I live to see the new watermelon season. So I'm all excited. I live through another year. It has nothing to do with what you're going to eat it or not. So he said, we passed in Mikra, then he said, Shechon on the second night, Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't need any pre-chadash. The only gun didn't hold for me. For Mr. B.A.T. and they call on Shitis. Because the only gun held that he had right guru, Shein Aleim Shuvah to be Machriya on every Shiloh. So whenever there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, he broke his head, or didn't break his head, and he said, right, what he thought the din was. That's the din of Achila, and that's the din of Yevet, and there's nothing to clear. That's what Rakhai Valojana has in his tribute, the famous line, that they quote in the history book, in Rakhai Valojana's tribute, that he has a tradition from the Roman Rabbin, he told him never to be with five sheep. A lot of times when there's a shaiva, so he say, Igno says in Shulchan Aruch that it's also, but there are those who say it's mitzvah for this reason, there are those who say it's mitzvah for the other reason, who say mitzvah, this sheet, and that sheet is like a sechseh. So the Gemara then said to Rakhai Valojana, we should never be mitzvah sheet. If we pass through that it's also, you can't consider the other sheet. You have to ignore the other sheet. Wrong is wrong. Or it's that, right. Some do and some don't. And then the Gaon LeGaon also said in his papers, there's an institution of title that they used to. You have a shayla on something, you're passing that it's mitzvah. I'm not like this, and you're passing mitzvah. But what if there's another shayla, another trace that's nearby, both on the same lung, let's say. And the other one, we also passing mitzvah. If this was a shayla, that was a shayla. And since there was sheep with all that this is us, and sheep with all that that's us, so if it's a title that they use, you have two strikes against you, it's like a sake of lahachim. So the Gaon LeGaon called, and part of the Reusa is an institution in the Yerodei Hilchos Shreis to have Gamsin Esfarim printed. What are the rules and regulations of when is it part of the Reusa and when is it not part of the Reusa?
Chaim Olajim reports, the Gura told him not to be machna on Tarkin of Yusuf, and not to be mekha based on the Tzirat HaShikas. However, you pass him, and you finish. You ignore the other Shita, because the Gura felt that he was Mivarer, Allah Alamaisi, but Rai is Gura, Shein Alayim Shuvah, what the din is in each and every case. So the Gura didn't observe this from the Tzirat HaShikas. He held, he knew what the din was. And his wife showed him what they have to Shechion with. She showed him on the first day. He said right away Shechion, and he followed Dina the Gemara. He did wait. We always wait to say Shechion until we eat three fathers. So he didn't wait to say right away Shechion. The Leil Sheni, he said Shechion without a three fathers. He held that that's the din. And it's the din.
Later on, when we are eating the table, and not combine it with the
kibbutz. It means to solve the problem of Rav Shlomo Zalman
Rabbah.
Okay, that's what Rav Shlomo Rabbah works on there. Yeah, how do we solve the problem? We should save the Shechion until later. Okay, but we don't do that. Yeah. That's the question. Why don't we do that?
Not
that's
exactly
the question.
It's not a kibbutz.
But we treat it as if it's a suffix, whether it's a Shechion or the second night on Rosh Hashanah. Yes, something similar. Except that this is not because of COVID, this is because they have a cloth stake of their eyes in the homeland. The second, the rational thing is, if you don't know what the din is, you don't know what the facts are, you don't know what the din is. What if we know the facts and we know the din? If we know that there is a minority opinion of Halfakir. So as a Midas Hasidus, we consider that also an example of fake of the rational form. A real self if it isn't, because we know it's occupying like this sheet. Occupying that you do say Shechion. Because there is a minority opinion not to say Shechion, so as a Midas Hasidus to treat it as if it were a suffix and you go lechum. Why should you be choshish for the sham? That's what the Gemara says, ain't a Mishnah. If it's a machlokes, and we don't accept this opinion, and it's getting the hilchos in the head, you know, as you pass from the famish against the shita, then there is no, it doesn't constitute a minute chassidim to be machna like that shita. But if it's not getting the hilchos in the head, you know, so then the Gemara says there is an Indian, there is an Indian.
But Ramamiya was marked by bread, by baking bread and sweeping the house.
Yeah, that's probably before they were outvoted. Yeah. Once they were outvoted, there is no minister to this meeting. Yeah, okay. You sure?
Okay.
In the set. Many people say like that. That the women who said Shechionu, but had Rav Kefanera, so they already ate the Shechionu. And the husband said Shechionu, and the Kiddush, they don't need it. But they're going to answer Amen.
Yeah.
Right, if the women said Shechion when they benched us, then we shouldn't say Shechion when they benched us. So here, many have asked that if the women already said Shechion by Hadlokas HaNeris, you shouldn't even answer Amen to the husband's Kiddush, to the Shechion. That'll be a hefsek in between the Bar Piagofen and the drinking, if they plan to drink some wine. That'll be a hefsek. They can answer Amen, but they shouldn't repeat Shechion the second time. Usually when the husband says Shechion, everybody says along. But those women who already said Shechion, the Bishas HaRokas HaNeir, shouldn't repeat it again later. Some are afraid and right that when the women say Shechion, when they bench Nech and Erev Yom Tov, their Shechion is on the Mitzvah of HaRokas HaNeir. And they're obligated to say Shechion and admit them all for the Kedushas HaYom. So some make such a split. But the Pashtus is that it's not so. The Pashtus is when the women say the Shechion, that's the Shechion for the Yom Tov. You don't say Shechion for the Hadlokas HaNeiros, not the Pashtus.
And the Pashtus really is, like he mentioned before, the Gemara says on that same daf in Erev and daf Nen on base, the Gemara says, Shechiyana on Rafila Bashuk, the Shechiyana for Yom Tov doesn't have to necessarily be recited over a cup of wine, the Haraya and the Yom Kippur. You don't recite Shechiyana over a cup of wine. It doesn't need the eye. You can say Shechiyana while you're walking in the street, so why do we say Shechiyana over a cup of wine? The answer is, the Gemara says, you enhance the Hashiva for the Shechiyana. If you say Alayam, so true, the women, if they choose to say Shechiyana, they'll be yotze the Shechiyana of Yontif. But the men can do that also. Every Yontif they can say Shechiyana in Shul before both of us can do on the Yom Kippur. So why don't we do it every Yontif? The answer is only Yom Kippur because we're not going to have any wine. But every Yontif we want to enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha by reciting the Bracha Alakos. So then they say, so it's not right that the women rush ahead. And they say the Shechiyana Mishal Kavlokas on there. They should really wait.
Till it
finish. And the Yotze, more correct is to say, to the Yotze de Shechiyana, you should ask to finish. But if the women insist they want to say Shechiyana, what can you do? You can say what you want. But if you can convince your wife, well, she should be lying. I can, when I got married, I convinced my wife she should be lying on my Shechiyana. And she has to remember the second days of Pesach or the second days of Sukkot. So I convinced that girl. She didn't ask her what we want. I said, just rely on me. So she doesn't say Shechiyana when she does Shechiyana. So she relies on me. You say the Shechiyana, all I've got.
She doesn't say Shechiyana when she does.
No, the second night you have to be Kaddish. No, she doesn't say, she never says Shechiyana when she benches it. She never says when she benches it. Is that right? And say, Rabbi Gedeg, because the more correct is not to say Shechiyana. Bishas HaGokas HaMeres, more correct, Yeyetzeh, it's like on Rav Yudah Vashuk, but more correct is to be Yeyetzeh the Shechiyana of Yom Tov. How about No, the women don't say Shechiyana. The men don't say Shechiyana. Nobody says Shechiyana by Yaakov Shechiyana. No, you say Shechiyana on the first day. If a person has a brand new suit and he wants to give him a shame, he doesn't say Shechiyana on the first day. The second day, like this, look at my neighbor. He'll get a food from the neighbor up the field. He'll come to us with fish on it. They claim that this reflects the practice in the days of the Gemara. The meaning which the yeshivas was, when they blew in the Chazaras HaShatif and Malchus, and that's the Zechranis, and that's the Sherkes, they would blow Tashrat after Malchus, and Tashat after Zechranis, and Tarat, Tiyatruatiyah, after Sherkes. So everybody has to kasha, it absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What's the reason why Rabbi Bohu made this hakana that you should blow Tashrat HaShatarat, because there's a machloikis hatanoim, whether this is the correct version, if that's the correct version, so here to blow Tashrat HaShatarat, Tashrat HaShatarat, for sure, 2 out of 3 are wrong. For sure, 2 out of 3 are wrong. So everybody else is in the garden, it doesn't make any sense. You're not getting anything with that. It doesn't make any sense. But that's what the garden did. So, most of the world changed the minute to something else, except for the Yekis. The Yekis still blow, but the meaning to stay yeshivas. They claim that all of their unusual minhagim stem from the days of the Tanoim and Amorim, from Moshe Rabbeinu, all of it back to Moshe Rabbeinu. They say they're the only one, that ever changed. But this is Mamish. This says it's in the grave. So the Pelos, it doesn't make any sense. What are we trying to say? From Mamish, 2/3 of the kids, 2 of them are absolutely wrong. It doesn't make any sense. So the different Rishonim give different suggestions how to make sense into this. So then Rav, another Rishonim quote, the famous Rav Haigron. Rav Haigron says, what do you mean there was a machlokes hatanoim? How do you blow Shefer?
Iblot Tashrat. What did they do next year? No one is alive and remembers. Everyone was born yesterday. Nobody remembers. It says the end. The truth of the matter is that they were all acceptable forms of fear of Truah. It's just the Balabatim in this community thought that they're the only ones who are and the others are not there because we blow Tashrat and they don't. They blew Tarat and they thought they're the only ones who are and no one else in the world is there. So the Balabatim made a Machlokes out of this. But he says that Rabbi Haikman claims there never was a stake in the deed and never was Machlokes. Everything is accepted. So Rabbi Bo made a Takona. Everybody should do all the logical possibilities. And no one will think that the other one is not guilty. But there's really no contradiction. So he blow varieties, the spice of life. So he blow Tashrat after Malchus, and Tashrat after Zechrenes, and Tarat after Shoes, because everything is good and nothing is possible. So there's no kasha in the Moloshah, there's two out of three reasons. That's Rav Haigun. Many Rishonim do not agree with the Rav Haigun case. It's the Feirish. This long case is going in and days. The Feirish is things not like him. It's a simple reading of the Gemara that it's a real suffix. We're not really sure whether it's Machlokes HaTorah, whether it's supposed to be this way, supposed to be that way, supposed to be that way. But that's why the Ramban has a different answer. The Ramban on the bottom of the river, Moham gives a different answer. He says, to go to Tzvei Halachot, Ramban says. He says, on a kind of seaboard, when the Chazan repeats the Shemon Esrei out loud, he adds on another six prophets. Mishnah is in China, so there's more Mishnah is in China. And the Chazan repeats the Shemon Esrei, in addition to the 18 prophets, he adds another six, and some have been sent to by 24. So at the conclusion of each one of the six added prophets, and the Chazar Hashad, they would blow Chatzotzi. What's the purpose of blowing Chatzotzi? To enhance the tefillin, that it should be Zo'oka. He says, Chisov HaMachom HaMe'atzchem, HaLatar HaTaretzchem, HaRiyotem HaChatzotzi, this character. So the Rambam writes that it's a mitzvah not to Lizuk or Lahariya. When you have an eighth Torah, a Hariyah Torah, then you should blow Chatzotzi and daven, it should be Zo'oka. Davening a real tefillah v'yisrael, not just tefillah, should be tefillah with zochim. So the Ramban writes that on a kind of tibur and a blue shayfer, how can you all find it in your kindness that there's a shayfer that he also blows tefillah, tefillah, tefillah? How are you supposed to blow? Tashrat, tashrat, tashrat. Doesn't say a word. How come it's only Rosh Hashanah? How come it doesn't have a kind of tibur? Ramban says the answer is that for the purpose of the true on a kind of tibur, he never was an apology. Everything is acceptable. Well, the Rav Haigun is right on the time of Kiyas. But then the Ramban says, the Kiyas in the middle of the Hazaras Hashad, that's the same as the Kiyas of the time of Siva in the middle of Hazaras Hashad. So just like on the time of Siva, there never was a Shalom, there never was an Achlokes. So for the purpose of the Kiyas in the middle of the state of Havrachas of the Shemona Esrei, there also never was an Achlokes. There Rav Haigun is right. He's made of a mixus. He says, half of what the Rav Haigun says is right. When you get to the tears and live a Hazaras Hashad, all three forms are acceptable. When is there a real machlokes with the state of the Dina, there's another, there is an additional aspect to Tia Shofar, something over and above this meaning of the Okam, that it's mitzaref with Tia, mitzaref with the Tfilah, and it makes it into a more serious form of Tfilah, like a Tfilah with crying, with Yom Yabava, in Mora says Yom Shua Yalacham, in the Talmud, it says Yom Yabava, Yabava means crying. And crying means you enhance the tefillah, you elevate the tefillah to the level of tefillah sheyesh bo demoy. In Mora says, Yom Shari, tefillah ninalu, Yom Shachar B'chanidush ninalu, Shari tefillah, but Shari demoy is like ninalu. So to blow shofar in the middle of the Chazaras Hashad, it's like demoy. Yom Shua, Yom Yabava, it's like you're crying in it. The Ramban says the one aspect of Tia Shofar in conjunction with the brachas that's identical to the union of Tia, Seder, Brachas, and Akana, Seder, that all the forms of two are acceptable, and that is no kasha. You want to shut you doing wrong, two out of three, like, no, they're all good. Yeah, but both Takana, you have to have all the three logical possibilities, that's only for the Tia Demusha. Because there's an additional aspect to the mitzvah of Tia Shofar, and Hashanah doesn't spell out what it is. Maybe it's like the coronation aspect, that with no trumpets, you call it the Hachtor of the Rav Shalom is the Melech HaOlam, so that's a Machlokes, what form of Tshuva that should have. So with the Yotzei that, it's more Musaf, but the Tshuva is a Mila Musaf, that's for the purpose of Zohar, because that everything is accepted. That's how the Ramban says. The Riff, who quotes this Mimic Bishtation, gives a totally different answer. The Riff quotes from the Gaon in a different view. It makes sense in their practice. So the Riff says, Eichen Klach, we already killed the Meyusha, we already were Yotze, all the logical possibilities. Blow, we blew 30 Kodesh. We were 3 times Kashrat, and 3 times Kashrat, and 3 times Karat. So whatever we're going to do in the middle of Hazorot Hashav, we did that Karnak. We Yotze everything already from before. So he says, since it doesn't really matter, what you blow? See, may as well blow.
I
ain't, you don't have to be so worried.
You need a blowing. You don't need a blowing. If you need a blowing out, mouth is going to drop this.
He says, he presented to you with the tears of Seder HaBrachot that we have today. It's like a Zecher. In the days of the Tanoim, that was when they were Yotze Tzir Shofar, in the middle of Hazorot Hashav. But in once they introduced tears in the Yushav, what do we show them? Tears in the Yushav. Prior to the news, you say everybody in Yotze everything already now. You're not really Yotze anything in the middle of Hazorot Hashav. So it's only a Zecher to what used to be. So you make a colorful Zecher. Well, then here, this is it. Hashrat and Hashrat and Hashrat. Taisvis doesn't agree. That Taisvis that we mentioned in Pesachim, about Taisvis, no, that's what all of the Shonim discussed that. The Gemara says we blow way more than the bare minimum. So that they all assume that there's no issue about Taisvis. That's not about Taisvis. Right. 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 And we're only Yotze in the middle of Hazorot Hashav. It's Vayta Shver. What's going on? What kind of a tears is this? You blow Kashrat over here, Kashrat. So that's why all over the world, except for Germany, they changed the name. So what did they change it to? The way they change it to. So they're Vayta different practices. It says, of course, there are many times, that the way to cover yourself is at the conclusion of Malki is you blow Kashrat. At the conclusion of Zechari is you blow Kashrat. There is a conclusion of Shofar to blow Kashrat, and everything is covered. If it's supposed to be Kashrat, that's what he did. Supposed to be Kashrat, so he did Kashrat. Now he blew a little bit of shmur. So what's so bad? Really, way about Hefzik. Hefzik is only L'Hatzila, it's not B'riya. If it's supposed to be Karat, then he did Karat. Now you have the shmur thrown in. It doesn't make things worse. This is a Hiddush of the Rabbi. At the time, that Hefzik is not Nevat. And she's enough, we don't pass like that. Yeah, the whole Rosh Christ is against it. The Rosh Christ is in our mind. If you blow a fall in the middle, it doesn't belong. You can't start from the beginning. All the way from the beginning. Over here from the beginning. If this is Rabbi Natan, she says, when the Gemara says, you're worried about Hefzik, it's only about Hatzila, it's not been yet. So we will get to all of Hatzila before Musaf. In the middle of Musaf, it's enough if you blow Hashrat each time at the Malkiot and the Tanis and Shefis. And everything is perfect. We don't have that practice of Rabbi Natan. We follow the Shavuot. Our practice developed in the 1500s. Most schools have the practice of the Shavuot Kodesh. But he said to be Yotze, all the logical possibilities at the end of Malki is the blow of Kashrat Hashat Torah. At the end of Zechon is the blow of Kashrat Hashat Torah. And the end of Shavuot also. Because that makes sense. How come it took till the 1500s? But we consider the most natural, the most normal, was not observed until the days of the Shalom Kodesh. This is in recommendation of the legal. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber has a different solution, a different suggestion, different solution to the thing. No one knows how he solved anything. The Mechaber says, at the conclusion of Malkiyos, we should blow Kashrat with Hum. At the conclusion of the Zechariah, we should blow Kashrat with Hum. And at the conclusion of service, we should blow Karat three times. What did he accomplish? No one says you have to blow three times. Here, two, three times, you have to mock it. The Mishnah says, within our Mishnah, you blow once, here, two, three, and mock it.